You're listening to Engage, the podcast for Delta pilots.
This is an Engage special report on the Delta pilots' strike authorization vote. Today's guests, Captain Jason Ambrosi, MEC Chairman, Captain Bill Bartels, Executive Vice President for Alpha National, and former UNA pilot, Captain Ben Wallander. Here's your host, Ryan Argenta.
This is the Engage podcast. I've got the MEC Chairman, Jason Ambrosi, who popped in here because this is such an important topic of strike authorization, what it means to the pilot group, the impact it has on negotiations and management. And then I'm also joined by Captain Bill Bartels. He's an A330 captain. He's also the executive vice president representing Delta at Alpha National. We also have Ben Wallander. He is a 737 captain in New York. Don't get tied up in titles or experience. This is old guy, young guy, and we are talking the strike authorization vote. Gentlemen, welcome to the Engage podcast. Thanks for being here. This is an immensely important topic. So thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks for having us, Ryan. I appreciate you. You're right. This is an important topic. There's a lot of questions related to the strike authorization vote, what it means to our pilots. This is an important time. Right now, your MEC, your elected union representatives are committed to getting an industry-leading, a truly industry-leading contract, regardless of what happens at other properties. And we want to get the information out there to our pilots on what that means, how it works. So thanks for having us.
You bet. So I want to back up a little bit because what I'm feeling is a bit of confusion on strike authorization. What precipitated this? And so I want to talk about the negotiator's notepad, which was released by the negotiating committee on September 12th. They did a great overview. I'm going to link it to the description of this podcast. But essentially, in response to a memo from management, which said, yeah, we'd like to give you a contract by the end of the year, but you've got to prioritize. You're not going to get out of this without some concessions. So you should tell your elected representatives what your priorities are because you're not going to get everything you want. And with the leverage we have in the position we have in the industry and what we've done as pilots for Delta to be those leaders at Delta through the pandemic, the pilot group has spoken loudly that it is time. We can get quality of life compensation in a truly industry-leading contract. The negotiator notepad responded to that. The MEC responded in a unity letter. You should also read that. That was pretty money. That was probably one of the best letters I've seen from the MEC in my time at Delta. But in any case, their response is saying the company needs to prioritize their asks because of 50 asks, the company's asking two-thirds of those, right? So there's a little bit of frustration. There's some friction at the table. Progress is slow. So we are now escalating our messaging to show that the pilot group is united, that the pilot group demands an industry-leading contract, and a strike authorization vote is one means to show that unity and to show management, hey, we are united and we are willing to strike if you don't show good faith at the table. How does that sound, Jason Ambrosi, MEC Chairman?
There's a lot there. So it goes back even further than the memo that you addressed and the negotiator notepad. It's been over 2.5 years since our contract was amendable. Yes, COVID was real. The pandemic was real, but little progress was made prior to the pandemic. There should have been more progress before that. We've been back at the table since January. Yes, we've closed 28 sessions of the contract. There has been some progress. The summer's over. It's time to keep the ball moving here. So as you said, the company has been insisting on some productivity issues. Our pilots understand how bad the schedules have been, how bad things have been. I mean, if we look back at 2018, it's a totally different airline. It's not just about a pay raise. It's about a comprehensive agreement. Our negotiating team is doing their part, showing up every week, willing to put the effort in to work with the company to come to an agreement. But it's not going to be some half agreement or something that doesn't address the concerns of the Delta pilots. So this is long coming. Our pilots are tired. They're ready for a comprehensive industry-leading agreement. And the next step in the process is a strike authorization vote. It sends that signal that you address that it's time. The pilots are unified. And if necessary, does it mean we're going on strike tomorrow? Absolutely not. It means you're giving the negotiating committee the much needed leverage at the table.
Jason, I think the railway workers might be a good example here where they voted in favor of a strike authorization vote that gave their negotiators leverage, huge leverage at the table, to the point where they got a pretty stellar contract. They got their asks just hours before they had to go on strike. Is that comparable to what we're up against?
Absolutely. As we've said, our goal is not to go on strike. Our goal is to provide leverage to the negotiating committee. That is a perfect textbook example of how it works. That drives the company to know we're serious. The pilots are behind us. In that case, the rail workers were behind them. They got serious at the end game because the company knew that they would go the distance if needed. If the company knows that the pilots are willing to go the distance, it's much more likely they'll reach an agreement in a quicker time frame. On top of that, it was encouraging that the support for labor that came from this administration and the government, it clearly signals what used to be in the old days that there's no chance of going on strike is not correct.
Yeah. In fact, the Wall Street Journal reported the labor secretary himself actually helped broker this deal to avoid a strike because it would impact supply chain issues. And to be part of the Railway Labor Act, which we fall under, is really the same deal. They're not going to let an airline disrupt supply chain issues. This administration has been very pro-labor, and that is to our advantage.
Yeah, and they did signal, though, that they would be permitted to go on strike.
Correct. It's
the largest piece of leverage under the Railway Labor Act. That bodes well for the airline industry as well.
Yeah, and you brought up a good point. We are not voting to go on strike. We are voting to show that unity, to show that resolve, that we're galvanized. Those are words that are backed by a very actionable result. And that is, if needed, we will go on strike. But we hope we never get there.
Absolutely. Again, having a huge number on the strike authorization ballot sends this clear signal to management that the pilots are speaking, that the pilots absolutely support the positions at the negotiating table, that there is no disconnect between the union and the pilot group, that the pilot group is 100% behind the union.
You've said before in previous podcasts, and I know you're going to say it again, but no concessions on a contract.
Yeah, absolutely. Agreed. We've heard loud and clear from the pilots that this is not a concessionary agreement. So we're working very hard to make sure that it's everything the pilots want.
Great. Thank you for that. I do want to segue and mention that we've gotten an immense amount of feedback from the pilots about this strike authorization, about the talk, about the lackluster progress at the table from the company. This is for all pilots, but the majority of the pilot group have never experienced a strike. They've never been in the industry when another airline strike within some reasons. We have Alaska Air this year did a strike authorization vote. They voted a strike authorization on a Friday and management was back at the table negotiating with them on Monday. We'll get there in a second. But a lot of feedback from our new hires, which really account, we have 2,500 new hires in the past 2.5 years. And so there's a lot of questions from new hires. And so this is for you. And I do have specific questions from actual new hires. We'll get to that in a second. But in my mind, the MEC voted unanimously back in August to allow a strike authorization. So that was strike authorization vote number one. That was your elected reps who voted yes, which is saying, if necessary, you can then ask the pilots for their individual vote, which will then show management how united the pilot group is. So now my understanding is now your elected representatives are saying, we're approaching that time that we need to get the pilots to vote maximum participation. Voter turnout is essential. And B, we want a yes vote to demonstrate, hey, we've had enough. Jason, can you speak to that?
Ryan, that's a great question. The MEC signaled loud and clear through a resolution that they're serious and that a strike authorization is absolutely on the table. So your reps are currently evaluating it, and I expect to just right around the corner them to authorize me to exercise that ballot on their behalf for the Delta file.
How important is voter turnout? How important is that participation that we get every pilot to vote, whether it's yes or no?
I'll kick that off and then Bill can piggyback on that because he was there in 98 at Northwest for this exact same process. It's essential. The company will commonly say that the union is only representing a small segment of the pilots, the most angry segment of the pilots, that we're out of touch with a vast majority of our members. This is a way of saying absolutely not. You saw the turnouts we've had at our picket. Those record turnouts for Delta pilots. That sends that signal that no, it's not only a small fraction. The next step from that is this strike authorization vote. It needs to be 100% and as close to that number in favor of it to send the company the message that yes, the pilots absolutely support the negotiating committee and the positions they have at the table. Again, it's not voting to go on strike. It's voting telling the company, we absolutely support our negotiating committee and what they're doing at the table. Bill, do you have anything you could add to that?
It needs to be unequivocal. I mean, somebody may say, hey, 90% is good. What's wrong with 90? Why does it have to be 99? Well, because it has to be absolutely positively clear to the company that everybody is on board. Maybe some of those pilots that would vote yes may not be that enthusiastic about going on strike. But remember, the strike vote's two things. It's one thing to logistically authorize the process to get to a strike, but it also is message sending. It has to be a clear message. It becomes a muddled message very quickly as the percentage in favor diverts from 100%.
I want to reverse the question here. So we understand what a yes vote signals. What does a no vote signal? And what does a no vote for an individual pilot signal to the company?
It could mean a lot of things. A no vote could mean that they personally may not believe they're personally prepared, or they don't completely understand how the process works and the importance of the strike vote. It could mean you're going to have a few people who are philosophically opposed to going on strike. It could mean that there are people that may philosophically have more sensitivity to the company's position or concerns.
The biggest piece of that, Ryan, is the education piece that pilots think that raising their hand and saying yes on a strike authorization vote means that we're going on strike or we're going on strike next week. Pilots need to understand that it is a step in the process. It is a signal that you're supporting your negotiating committee. And we still have to play by the rules under the Railway Labor Act.
So it sounds like we're getting ahead of the curve here by taking the pulse of the pilot group, getting ahead to get the strike authorization vote. And management is going to realize that through this strike authorization vote. And again, bringing up those recent examples, Alaska Air, they had a strike authorization vote. They had 99% voter turnout and 96% voted in favor of a strike authorization. And 3 days later, they were back at the table and they're about to achieve a contract as well. Spirit went on strike, I believe it was for 5 days, and their management came back to the table and gave them their ask. So there's some historical reference here, and we're talking about 1998. Bill, I know that feels like yesterday for you, but that was an eternity for a lot of us. And so this is new for a lot of the pilot group, and this is why we're doing this. You mentioned preparing a strike fund. I spoke to a couple new hires at a pub event recently, and one said, I took a pay cut to be here at Delta. I don't have a strike fund. I've exhausted my savings. How could I possibly vote yes on a strike authorization when, yeah, I want to support the Delta pilots, but I also need to support my family? How does that work? What resources? Because I know there's money available. There are ALPA resources for pilots. What does that look like?
So as far as the resources available, Delta MEC actually began a process at the last meeting to cause National to update some of the strike policies and some of the things I'm going to talk about, because they've been outdated. The last time it was updated was 2000, 22 years ago. So right now, what's available from ALPA, there's a strike benefit. It's $1,400 a month, which doesn't sound like a whole lot. We're going to get an improvement on that. The $1,400 is going to be increased in the next several months. It needs to be more significant than that. The strike benefit is aggregated with what you might make from the company through vacation or even partial pay for a month. And then it becomes another negotiating priority to backfill that money that people didn't get paid, call it an additional retro to replace the income that was lost during the period. That's what happened in Northwest, but that wouldn't be an unheard of additional negotiating priority to come back to work if we actually got to be on strike. The most important thing about the strike vote is to send the message to maintain the leverage at the table and make sure the company is convinced that we're serious.
So I'm not in a financial position to actually go on strike, and I'm hesitant to vote yes for one, I can be reassured that there is money. It's not a lot, but there is a monthly stipend. What about healthcare? Do you get COBRA?
Yes.
Okay. And I can go out and get another job, right? I can work for the local cement company or Amazon. If this were to become long in the tooth, I can go get another job. There's certain restrictions about flying for other carriers, but essentially you can still provide for your family if things get long. And again, we've seen Northwest was 15 days, Spirit was 5 days. I don't think we're going to get to that point, but I would not hesitate to vote yes because of the current financial situation. Because looking for me, a 20, 25 year career, and for a new hire who might be looking at a 30 plus year career, the benefit of building this contract is so important that it's going to outweigh any financial loss in the short term.
That's an absolutely valid perspective. You're looking for the long term, and that I suspect that Ben could probably offer something on that because he's got the perspective. I think you're going to go there next, but you have to take the long perspective, the long view. Yes, it's going to be short-term pain, But in the end, the resources are there. You can still live your life and be able to get around during the strike period. But I think you got more of that coming up later.
Yeah, we'll get into those details because those are questions, right? There are a lot of probationary pilots who are saying, if we do go on strike, an actual strike, I can't participate. So am I required to go to work? Bill?
Well, so that's something that is varied over time, whether they're required to go to work. The practical answer is you're going to have somebody to fly with. And even if you had probationer or very junior pilots who were captains, remember, once they're a captain, they're off probation. So it'd be very difficult for the company to operate with any significant number of probationary pilots, even if they were able to force the pilots to do that, because you need two people up there and you need to have captains to fly with, and all captains are off probation. And you'd have to have enough volunteers to fly with them. I'm confident with this pilot group, that wouldn't be the case.
So if all the captains are on strike, there's nobody to fly with. And actually, this is one question saying, well, as a new hire probationary pilot, would I be forced to upgrade? Well, once you upgrade, you're off probation, so then you can join the picket line.
Exactly. Yeah, it is subject to interpretations about whether they can force a probationary pilot to go in and work. What a probationary pilot shouldn't do is they shouldn't be out on the picket line. They shouldn't be doing visible displays, strike activities. That's an absolute. As far as being forced to go to work, it's highly unlikely. And I think there's probably some strong arguments how that couldn't happen or shouldn't happen. So it's unlikely.
Yeah, that makes sense. And flipping the script to the other side of the spectrum, seniority list instructors, line check airmen, we've heard from them like, hey, can I vote yes on a strike authorization vote? Because I'm pretty sure I'd be required to go to work. And you've kind of answered that question as well. But absolutely, check airmen and seniority list instructors can and should vote yes if you want a good contract. It's anonymous, right? The company's not going to know, oh, the check airman Smith voted yes for strike authorization, so now you're not going to be a check airman anymore, right?
You're absolutely right. First and foremost, the vote is absolutely confidential, so no one has any idea. Second, we've heard loud and clear from our check airmen and instructors that their work rules are very lackluster and they're demanding improvement. That's how they get an improvement, is by getting on board. You can't walk on both sides of the fence there. You either say, yeah, I'm not satisfied with my work rules, I'm not satisfied with my benefits and pay as an instructor or check airman, but oh, by the way, I'm going to not vote in favor of the strike vote and I'm gonna go to work. So piggybacking on what Bill said about probationary pilots and training, it just makes sense. If we ever got to that point, they'd shut everything down because there's not going to be a check airman to give a check ride. There's not going to be an instructor to do the instructing. There wouldn't be any stress for the probationary pilots because very likely they would just shut the operation down.
Right. And that makes sense. I'll be direct with this question. I think it's great. But from a new hire, probationary pilot says, can I vote yes, but then be a scab?
Well, I would strongly recommend that you don't do that. That's not a great way to go about business, but you have to make a choice. Each individual has to make a choice. So again, voting for a strike authorization ballot does not mean you're voting to go on strike. It means that you're voting to support your negotiating committee at the table.
Perfect. I want to go to Ben Wallander now. He's a 2019 hire, and he's coming to us remotely from Washington, D.C. Ben, welcome to the Engage podcast. You've been a big fan of ours and we appreciate it. So welcome.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for having me, Ryan. This is all great stuff because I have not been through any strike operations at an airline. I've been flying since about 2013. So I've not experienced this. I've experienced this giant wave of coming up to Delta. I had to take a pay cut. I was coming from a regional where I was making pretty good money as a captain. But now we come into this part where we have this strike potential and I want to vote yes for it. We came through UNA. I was questioning if I was going to have a job into the next month. Now we're coming to this part that a strike could indicate that my career for the next 25, 30 years is going to be much better. So in the short term, right now, I'm really hoping that people vote yes for a strike authorization.
I want to highlight that because you were a UNA. You were marked for furlough. You were almost on the street. And if you vote yes for strike authorization and we actually go on strike, this is really the second time in your very short career at Delta that you've taken it on the chin for the sake of the industry or the sake of a better contract.
Absolutely. So it's been two times. And when we come out of it, we came out of COVID a lot stronger. And now looking at the entire industry, we have eyes on us. So if we come out ahead, we're not just helping Delta pilots, we're helping almost the entire industry progress.
Ben, take me through this. If I've been hired in the past couple of years, I may not be totally familiar with what's going on in general. We've talked about, well, we haven't had a contract in a couple of years, negotiations are slow. The company is saying our asks are too big, need to prioritize them. But if I'm a new hire, I may not have the full picture. What is your perspective on this contract cycle? What do you want to tell new hires to Delta? What's your take, your perspective on what is happening in these negotiations and why a strike authorization vote is essential at this time?
As a new hire pilot, I came in right as our contract was up. I was hoping for significant improvements, quality of life. Coming to Delta, I expected to have one of the industry-leading contracts that is talked about. Coming from a regional, I saw the other side of it where we had work rules that weren't as nice as Delta. Right now, we're at this forefront of an industry where inflation rates, et cetera, are causing our contract to be dated. A strike vote, our new contract right now, is going to set the stage for the future. So if everyone came to Delta, and we started at training pay. I was in the first year that we got $5,000 a month. Right now, new hires are getting about that $5,000 a month. That was a pay cut. In the event of a strike, the fact that you might have to go without a paycheck from Delta for maybe 2 weeks, maybe a month, and then there's some programs that can come in, this is a very small investment into a future that's going to last 30, 35 years. I've been talking to some new hires that are here. They're going to be here for over 40 years. We're not saying you're going to quit your job as a pilot. You're coming back.
I agree. So Ben Wallander, and interestingly enough, I think this signals the state of the industry, the state of the airline is you came in 2019, UNA, potential furlough, pandemic, and now you're a 737 captain. So things are different. This is not your granddaddy's Delta. This is not your dad's airline industry. Things are very different, and we need to protect that future and capitalize on that with an industry-leading contract.
Absolutely. Coming out of UNA status to getting a captain bid within the year, it's things that nobody would have ever thought. We achieved things like positive space commuting. That saved me about 4 days a month that I got back at home in my own bed. I say it again, we're on the forefront of a fantastic contract that's going to set the stage for the next 30 years for pilots.
Absolutely. Completely agree. The negotiators saying things are hung up on forced productivity, the company asking for us to give up payback days, to give up some unstacking rules. That's a bidding feature. That's another podcast you could listen to, PBS. And we're just not willing to give those things up. We've heard the feedback from an incredible amount of people. I didn't realize how important payback days were to the pilot group until they were on the table to be taken away and people have spoken up. So that's an important thing. Forced productivity in a time where we have already gone above and beyond to pick up overtime trips, to pick up extra trips, to help limp the company through this difficult time. And we're all willing to do it. We're all willing to step up, but enough is enough. And really, we're saying the time is now. And as the MEC wrote in their unity letter in response to management, they said, welcome to next time, right? Because the company's saying, well, you build on this contract and the next time you can get something else. And next time you get, and the MEC is saying, welcome to next time. This is it. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. Let me zoom out a little bit and then let's wrap. But in general, we're talking some detail about what a strike looks like and feels like. Obviously, we all hope we never get there. But the MEC is going to ask the individual pilots to authorize a strike to be used as leverage at the negotiating table and to demonstrate to management that we are united. That so when the company shows up to the table and says, you know what, you're only representing the angry portion of the pilot group and you're not as galvanized as you think, 100% or 99% participation rate with a 95%+ affirmative vote on strike certainly says, oh yeah, we sure do. We are unified. So this is our opportunity to demonstrate that and to show. So the MEC is going to ask the pilot group to vote individually on that'll be coming out. This is just step one of the information and the education. We've got the podcast. There will be some individual written comms that come out. You'll be getting a ton of information as we approach the opening of the window. And then within that window, more information will be coming out. Jason, can you change your vote? If I say no, I don't vote for a strike, but then I get more information. I say, oh, okay. Yeah. Can I change my vote?
Yeah, Ryan, absolutely. You can change your vote. You absolutely can go back and say, you know what, I've rethought it and I would like to change my vote.
That's good to know as well. So yeah, much more information to come. So stay tuned for that. We'll obviously do more podcasts here. The significance of this vote is probably career changing, not to be dramatic, but I feel that's true. And I lived through failed TA1. And looking at the alternative here is if we don't show our resolve, if we don't show that unity now, then potentially, if you vote no, you know what, no, I'm not willing to strike. And then you read a TA and you're like, well, this isn't that great. I'm a no vote on a TA. And now we're in a failed TA situation. I'll tell you, that was a difficult time to be part of this company when you're staring down what looked to be a sales job. It looked to be a snowball where you're just looking at it saying, this sucks. This is not good. And so you vote no. And now there's some ambiguity of how do you go back and renegotiate? What sections do you open up? And there's a lot of stress and some anxiety there about what is this contract going to look like? But what I'm saying is we do not want to get into a failed TA situation. This is the time to show that unity now, to just get the contract done. Get it done as soon as we can, but to get that industry leading and that comprehensive package.
Just to give a look back, me personally, Ryan, I was a young 20-something FO at ASA, Atlantic Southeast Airlines, when we were walking out there on the picket line and we had a strike authorization vote. And at the time, as a 20-something, then your goal is to get to Delta Airlines someday. And we knew it was the right thing to do at that point, regardless of age, because it is about improving the profession. It's about improving it for those that come behind us, those people that, as Ben said, have 30, 40 year careers there. So I voted in favor of it at ASA, and it significantly moved the needle to a successful contract. I know it can be frustrating or stressful for our most junior pilots, but it's about the dividend. It's about the potential to have this springboard you into a much better career for you and your family.
Yeah. And I've encountered a lot of new hires, recent new hires, and all pilots alike through these pub events, through the podcast. But one thing that has come up, and I want to talk to probationary pilots who have said, I want to support my union. I want to participate, but I have to wear my hat and I can't wear the lanyard. And we recognize that. No one's looking at you with scorn. It's an assumed, and I've even said, hey, oh, are you on probation? Yeah, I'm on probation. Cool, man. You can still help out. You can do things. You can show that unity. I mean, put a green lanyard on your bag. So there are little things you can do. And frankly, I want to call on the senior pilots for their leadership at this time, because the junior pilots, the new hires, they're looking to the senior pilots for that direction, for that leadership. And it's very noticeable when you wear your hat. It's very noticeable when you don't wear your green lanyard. And as ridiculous as it sounds, the company's counting. They're looking at a guy not wearing a green lanyard or a lady wearing her hat and saying, oh, that's a no vote on strike authorization. And that's a little dramatic, but I do want to call on those senior pilots, help mentor the new hires, talk them through why they should vote in favor and really exercise that mentorship and let them make their own decision, because it is everybody's own decision. But I want to thank the probationary pilots. I want to acknowledge you for having that desire to participate. Again, throw a green lanyard on your bag. No big deal. And the senior pilots, I'm calling on you for that leadership. Jason, Ben, any last retacks?
Just reiterating, this all comes back to a one unified voice looking for a better contract for the entire industry. So even as a new hire pilot that is facing one of the lowest paid times in their entire career, voting yes for this strike vote is going to better us into the future indefinitely.
Very good. Jason Ambrosi, MEC chairman.
Well said, Ben. To summarize, it's a strike authorization ballot. It does not mean we're going on strike tomorrow. We still work through the process of the Railway Labor Act. It does mean that at some point, if the company refuses to bargain in good faith, the National Mediation Board says, we've reached an impasse. Both sides can't come to an agreement. And we've expired a 30-day cooling off period, then yes, we have the ability to go on strike. But you're not voting to go on strike. You're giving the negotiating committee the much-needed leverage they need at the table. You hear some buzzwords, Ryan, like unity, solidarity. Those are real. You send the message that this pilot group is unified and unified behind their negotiating committee at the table, unified behind their elected union representatives, you really do have an opportunity to move the needle and get a truly industry-leading contract that our pilots have earned.
It's not just taglines, folks. This is real stuff. And you're helping the industry. You're helping Delta pilots. Jason Ambrosi, MEC chairman, Bill Bartels, Executive Vice President, and Ben Wallander, Captain Ben Wallander. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate your work.
Thank you. This has been Engage, the podcast for Delta Pilots. Thanks for listening. My name is Ryan Argenta. Stay safe and keep the rubber on the road.
You're listening to Engage, the podcast for Delta Pilots. Follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or your favorite podcast platform, and receive notifications when a new episode is available.